With me in the studio today is Dr. Les Olala, Chancellor at North Baptist Bible College and co-host of the broadcast. And, Doc, we've got our coffee and our Bible and a great topic today. So we're set. We're in good shape today.
Yeah, let's get into it. We are finishing up the series we are doing on Lot.
And yeah, you today, called it
Lessons from a Caveman.
Yeah, I thought that was a catchy title, and I'm sure our listeners are intrigued by that. I have a feeling this is going to be one of the ones that go to the website.
Yeah, and what can I learn from a caveman?
Well, you began by really introducing us to the big idea that who we are in life, that literally the end of our life is a process that unfolds choice by choice.
Right. We said we are becoming what we will be one choice at a time. And we also emphasize that choices, we are free to make choices,
mm-hmm.
but we are not free to determine the consequences mm-hmm. once that choice is made. That is, I have been given a will. I can choose, but I can't determine the consequence of that choice once the choice is made.
And we've been looking at that played out, and you were so powerful in the way you said this in our last broadcast. We're looking at this in the life of a real man. This isn't a fictional story in the Old Testament. This is a real man with consequences that really did happen to him, and those consequences were devastating. In fact, we spent our whole broadcast looking at the consequences in Lot's life that came as a result of a series of choices that he made that we started looking at way back in Genesis 13.
You know, for the believer, it's like Lot. Lot did not run into this in one day.
Mm-hmm.
He
mm-hmm.
wandered into it one step at a
one
time.
One step at a time.
And when the contrasting of the shepherd, let us not wander from thy commandments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most Christians don't flee God's commandment. They wander to this patch of good grass and that patch of, and next thing you know, we're way away from the shepherd because we're not staying where the shepherd would have us. These other patches of grass are causing us to wander away.
Mm-hmm. What a picture. And that's exactly the picture that's here in Genesis 13.
And, but I want to do a study just briefly on the contrast. I want to take the life of Abraham as contrasted with Lot. Both mm-hmm. same situation, both same family,
mm-hmm.
same opportunities.
Same knowledge of God.
Same knowledge of God and how differently their lives ended. And
What do you think made the difference between these two men?
One had a heart for God and the other had a heart for himself.
Hmm.
And when you study Hebrews chapter 11, you clearly see the New Testament perspective is using Abraham as a lesson we should follow.
Because he wasn't perfect either.
Oh, no.
No, he made some serious mistakes.
He did walk by faith.
Right.
And when he made a mistake, which is a great blessing for us, there can be rescue.
Mm-hmm.
Because we will not live in this life a sinless, perfect life.
Mm-hmm.
We will make blunders. And then God in his grace will allow the corrections and restore mm-hmm. us back to those places.
If we respond. And that was Lot's problem because God did try to rescue Lot a couple
right.
of times.
There were opportunities. Now let's take Lot, for example. What did Lot see? Let's do it from that standpoint.
Okay.
What did he see?
Well,
he saw flocks,
mm-hmm.
herds, well-watered plains. But it was like what? Like the land of Egypt. What did Lot not see? In other words, we know what he saw.
Well, I don't think he would have ever seen a cave.
No, he didn't see that cave coming. He didn't see the evil of Sodom. He didn't see the dangers. He didn't see the effect that it was going to have on his family. That was yet coming. But he didn't see. He saw a good place for cattle, but he didn't see it was a bad place for kids.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, the cattle represented riches.
Right.
But the children really were.
So that would be like literally for the sake of a job opportunity or a promotion, taking your family to a place where there wasn't a good church.
Well, I'll tell you what, when there is an opportunity of promotion, there's an opportunity of gain. And, you know, you have to understand it doesn't matter how much more is being offered. If you cannot find a good church, a good family of believers to encircle your family, there is no dollar that is worth that kind of a move.
Mm-hmm.
And as dads, we have to be responsible. I have to ask myself, what lessons am I teaching my children about who God is? I see the benefits. I see the materialism. I see the job offer. I see the dollars. But what I don't see is what is it going to do to my children later?
Mm-hmm.
And then you look back and say, man, I could have done with a lot less. in a lot less stress, and I could have focused that time because kids are with us once and they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
And now that all of our kids are gone and the grandkids are growing and a couple, three grandchildren now in the teen years, and thinking, how could that time have gone so quickly? I'd like to go back 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
I would like
mm-hmm.
to make some choices differently.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to focus my energies differently.
Mm-hmm.
But thank God for his grace in that. Now, what did he lose? What did Lot lose? We talked about that, of the consequences. He lost his witness. He lost his wife. He lost his wealth. And he lost his worth as a father.
Mm.
See, he didn't see any of that coming. Now, let's take Abraham. Now, we asked the question, what did Lot see? And we saw that he saw well-watered plains. He saw a good place for cattle. But what did Abraham see? You remember what you read in chapter 13 and verse 14? Read that verse again, chapter 13 and verse 14.
And the Lord said unto Abram, after Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes. So there's the same idea that Lot did, except God's telling him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward.
Now, read the rest of the verses there.
For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Now, that would include Sodom and Gomorrah, wouldn't it?
Everything. Every place you're looking.
So he was going to get what Lot chose.
Yes.
I don't think I'd seen that before. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abraham removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. So there's the altar and the tent
again.
You
see the tents and altars again. And the Abrahamic covenant. And that land, that, and it is going to be fulfilled.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That Abrahamic covenant hasn't stopped.
Mm-hmm.
It is going to be fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
And but God lifted Abraham's gaze because Abraham let the option of saying, you know what? Nothing on this earth is worth more to me than knowing the heart of my God.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so he made enough blunders himself to realize and would yet make more blunders. But to realize that God is his only real anchor point
mm-hmm.
and not the others. So he saw the Lord. He saw the promises of God. And he saw that God had promised to him these things. Your seed will be like the sand of the seashore,
mm-hmm.
Genesis 22,
mm-hmm.
17. It would be like the dust of the earth, chapter 13 and verse 16. It would be like the stars of the heavens, Genesis 15 mm-hmm. and verse 5. So that promise that God, he saw the promises of God. Now, what did Abraham not see?
Well, he didn't see the evil consequences that befell Lot.
Yeah, he didn't see the evil enticements. He didn't see his family destroyed. He didn't see the consequences of living a life that is self-centered. And what did he gain? We saw what Lot lost. What did Abraham gain?
He gained everything.
Yeah, he gained a son,
mm-hmm.
Isaac.
Mm-hmm.
And who does Isaac picture?
Well, the Lord.
Yeah, and he gained the scene of Calvary, Genesis chapter mm-hmm. 22. What do we see in Genesis 22?
Well, the sacrifice of Isaac.
Yeah.
And the provision of a ram, Jehovah Jireh.
Jehovah Jireh. That's the forecast of Calvary.
Mm.
The father laying
mm-hmm.
down, willing
mm-hmm.
to lay down the life of his son.
Mm-hmm.
For that time, he gained a spouse for Isaac
mm-hmm.
that would be the ongoing seed that would be there.
In other words, he gained all the things that Lot wanted.
Yeah, and beyond. Because Lot gained only what he saw. Abraham gained what he saw and what he didn't see. Because he had no idea everything God had in mind for him. And that's true as believers.
Mm-hmm.
So we have no idea what God has in mind for an obedient
mm-hmm.
believer.
Mm-hmm.
The blessings that are there. And can you just picture, let's go to Abraham and Sarah's supper table, and little boy Isaac is there. And daddy finishes eating, and daddy Abraham slips out of the house. And this is my imagination running a little bit here. And he slips out of the house, and Isaac says, Mommy, where did daddy go? I don't know. He stepped outside. And Isaac goes on the porch and looks, and Abraham's on his knees in Isaac's sandbox, and he's holding up hands of sand and letting
mm-hmm.
the sand run through mm-hmm. his fingers. What are you doing, Daddy? Oh, nothing. But what Abraham is doing is clipping coupons of right choices.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because God says your seed will be like the sand of the seashore. Let that sand run through. He prays with Isaac one night, puts him to bed, and then Daddy slips down the stairs and goes outside. Mm-hmm. And Isaac says, Mommy, where's Daddy? He went outside for a while, and Isaac hauls up to him. What are you doing, Daddy? And Abraham's out there counting stars. What are you doing, Daddy?
Amen.
Oh, nothing. Oh.
Now, if we were in the South right now, I'd be
that's time to take a running. He's clipping coupons of right choices.
Amen.
And when you stop to think of what God has in mind, how can we not trust Him to do the right things, especially when He has left Hebrews 11 as models for these steps of obedience and the rightness and the wrongness of these things. And so we see the ongoing blessings of Abraham. And you can only picture, as limited as we are in our thinking, and limited as we are in our experiences,
how all of that plays out. And that's, to me, what is so incredible. I mean, you said it in the earlier broadcast that Abraham had a son who obeyed, and Lot ended up with sons and daughters that disregarded and mocked.
Right.
But Abraham also ended up with a wife who wasn't perfect, but Hebrews talks about her faith.
Yes.
And Lot ended up with a wife who turned into a pillar of salt. And you never, from a human perspective, if you were looking on just as an onlooker and you didn't know all the details that were going on, and you were watching Abraham and Lot standing on this overlook, looking out and making their choices, you would have walked away thinking, boy, Lot got the better end of that deal.
Yeah. And Abraham, what a dummy.
But boy, you know what? What a difference a few chapters make. Because by the time you end up at the end of chapter 19, you're looking back saying, how did Abraham know to make that choice? Because, boy, I'm not sure I would have made that choice. But, man, wow, look at, like, and then you start hearing about the sand through his fingers and counting the stars and what God did. And it's incredible. And I think that's one of the most powerful impacts to me about this contrast you're painting.
And when it goes back, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Faith is the key to this whole thing.
Well, this has been a great series, Doc. Thank you for leading us through it. And those of you who are listening, if you want all six broadcasts in the series Lesson from a Caveman, you can find them on our website, www.thewordforlife.org. Until the next time that we're together, may the Lord bless you.